Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Therapist really wasn't too inclined to give her that, but she said, okay, I'm going to give you 30 days. But she said, give me 30 days to do this now. So for 30 days, Lisa Nichols tells the story that how she got up every morning, and just like my 66 days of I Am's up here, she got up every morning and she did her I Am discourse, and then she meditated on that I Am all day. And every day for 30 days, 20 minutes in the mirror. And when she came back to her therapist, and her therapist saw the change in her, how happy she was, how delighted she was, how the energy had changed in her, the therapist was like, what are you taking and can I get some? She changed her environment. She changed her self-talk. Even though everything around her seemed like it was good, she changed the way she saw herself by speaking into herself. Not looking for somebody to speak into her life. Not looking for somebody to approve her life. Not looking for anybody to do anything, not looking for anything outside of her, but looking inside herself, she changed her life. And what I'm telling you is that if you want to change, look inside yourself. You have to change what's inside yourself, and only you can do it. As much as I would love to take credit for everybody whose lives have been impacted greatly because of me, because of the when I was a personal trainer, or business, or even my children, it is not me. It is them changing themselves. I was just a guy. I was just someone pointing out the way to saying that if you turn right, you're going to end up at this destination. But if you turn left, you'll end up at that destination. But if you go straight, you're going to end up at that destination. Now, sometimes you can go left or right, but still end up in the same destination. But I was just a guy, but it was found within themselves. And that's what you have to look inside yourself. When you get that movie in your head, when you emotionalize it and you can feel it, then you take massive action. You're doing these things that will bring from inside yourself what was already there. That's what bringing order out of chaos is about. The chaos has all the elements of what is needed. It is putting it in order. You're not getting rid of the chaos, yet, so to speak, as a material thing. You're just reorganizing the chaos to bring order in. You're spending more money than you make. Stop. Get on a budget. Join my financial alchemy program. Do the DIY version of it. Get on a budget. Once you're on a budget, follow the budget. Control your expenditures. Understand where your money goes. When you do that, the more you do that, guess what? You're bringing order out of chaos. You still got the same bills. You still got the same money. You still got everything still the same. You're just bringing order out of the chaos. You just determine when and where and how you spend your money, so that you don't overextend yourself. You do the same thing in your relationships. You do the same thing in your self-rejection. You're in chaos, but you need to bring order to it. And the simplest way to bring that order is to reorganize what is already there. Re-relate to it. Re-relate to it. Relate to it differently. When you start doing that, you'll start seeing a change. So that's how we do this. I will always recommend, like, I'm getting ready to spend the next 66 days going over my I Am again. And if you saw my other video on how to manifest through your I Am, you'll know that as this one says, I am listening. You say, I am listening, listening I am. Or this one, I am deliberate, deliberate I am. You know, I am Papa Shango, Papa Shango I am. I am positive, positive I am. I am brilliant, brilliant I am. I am magic, magic. It's saying that to yourself, but not all of them. Don't do them all every day. It's once a day. Once. If you're doing my 66-day version. Now, if you want to say 5 a day, you want to say 6 a day, you want to say 3 a day, whatever floats your boat, because this is your journey. Now, when you stop rejecting yourself, when you stop your self-loathing, you will then stop rejecting your partner. You will stop telling them no. You will stop doing the rejection that hurts them the most, which is not showing them love in the way that they understand love. Now, if you're just in a situation where it's just the way they receive love is just something that you're just not interested in, that's different. That's different. But when you change that 75% of that environment to match what makes them feel love, they will not feel rejection anymore. The rejection will be over. They will never feel it again. And even when you slack off a little bit, when you set up ways of communicating with one another so that they can inform you, you will automatically get back into it. And here's the thing, it takes time. You're not going to create these new habits overnight. So you have to communicate to your partner that, hey, I know I haven't been showing you love. I know you feel rejected. I realize that that rejection is within myself. And I want to change that. The way that I'm going to change that is by doing affirmations every morning for the next 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes, I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to change the way I am around. I'm going to change the environment. Our house is not set up for me to show you love. My work schedule is not set up for me to show you love. My health is not set up to show you love. If you're a guy, the way my bank account is set up, it's not to show you love. But whatever it is, I need to set this up so that I can show you love. I've got to change my mind. So I need your help. Not to fuss at me nor expect me to do this overnight. Not to nag me or to say, see, I told you so, or look at you now, you ain't really changed overnight. Give me time. Work with me. Help me to understand what loving you looks like so that I can do it better. So that I can make it better, make it easier for you, make it so that you feel it and you see it. I want you to see my effort. I want you to see the changes as they come about. Because if you can appreciate those changes, then I know that you also love me because you are patient and you recognize the work that I'm doing. Have that conversation and then start taking those actions. When you do take those actions over a long enough period of time, they become habit. See, the laws of nature says that anything done over and over and over and over and over and over becomes permanent, becomes habit, becomes the thing that you then claim, this is just how I am. 30 years from now, somebody will see you being loving to your mate and you'll say, that's just how we are. That's just how I am. They see you being considerate towards your mate. That's just how I am. All these things that you're not now that you then become, and over a 30-year period, it becomes just who you are. They become permanent, and you think it's your 25%, and it's not. You know it. It's your 75%. It's your environment that made that change. So be patient. Ask your mate to be patient. Make sure that your mate is patient. If they are not patient, then the problem is not only with you, but it was with your choosing, your picking. As I'm writing in my in the book, How to Find Your Divine Soulmate, one of the major aspects of it is your choosing of your mate, how you choose. Because some people won't be able to deal with your change. They won't be able to roll with your change. They won't be able to help you with that change. So you have to be willing to make that change. And sometimes the change of the environment, change of the people, change of the people. You got to change who you're around. You might have to change your mate. So I know of many couples, many people, I should say, many people who had their best life in their second marriage, who had their best life in their third marriage, who I know a few who have their best life in their fifth marriage. And although other people may say, ooh, if you've been married 2, 3, I literally have had women that I've met who said that if I had been married 3 times and divorced 3 times, that they wouldn't even deal with. I don't care. I'll marry and divorce as many times as I need to in order to be in the right relationship with the right person. If anything, the maturity has shown me that you just got to be more particular about your choosing. And when you see and know that it ain't right, you need to be able to walk away before you get mad. Before you commit yourself overly, know how to walk away. But it's all say, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to run. You really can. The thing, you got to, who is that, Willie Nelson, I think, The Gambler, is that song or something like that? But you got to know that. You have to recognize when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away, when to run. When to run. I have been in relationships where I should have ran. I should have ran as fast as I possibly can. I should have put my track shoes on and then running like my name Usain Bolt. I should have been running. But I didn't. And you pay the price. You pay the price. But what I refuse to do is allow someone else's perspective to determine or dictate whether or not I am worthy of love. And you have to recognize that too. No one else's perception can dictate whether or not you are worthy of love. That's what we could say. I've learned how to treat my fiance better from my first marriage. Things I was too stubborn to change, I changed. Second time around. That's right. You know, that what's funny about that is that if I was doing this 10, 15 years ago, there's no way I would even attempt to sing a little bit that I've done. I wouldn't even do it because I know I can, but I don't care. See, that's what maturity is that I don't really give a care. I kind of have to. But anywho, most people don't realize. Most people will not self-evaluate what they did in the relationship to see if they can fix it, if they can make it better. They will continue to do the exact same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Now, the only thing that is different is that maybe if you pick the right person who tolerates or loves how you are in the first marriage, great. But some things need to change no matter what marriage. If you would just I don't know what you changed, but some things you need to change. Some things you have to change. Some things are better for your, it's for your advantage to change. I think one of the things we're lacking the most in relationships, and when we go into relationships, is our own level of selfishness. I mean, think about it. Why do you get into a relationship? You have a child. The child grows up and the child leaves you. And they start having their own life. And then you go from seeing that child every day to seeing that child once a week to seeing that child once a month. And depending upon if they move across country or another country, maybe you see them once or twice a year. You don't have a child for permanency of romantic relationships that live in the same house with you every day for the rest of your life. But you get into a marriage because you want that person in your life and every day in the same house for the rest of your life. So you get into that situation where you want, this is what you want. This is who you want to be with. So if you're in that situation, why wouldn't you want it to be the best it can possibly be? Why wouldn't you want to make sure that you're not being so stubborn and stuck on something that is causing problems within the relationship? You would want the relationship to flourish, to grow, to be beautiful and wonderful. But you hold on to stereotypes, or you hold on to ways that you were with another person, or how you grew up, or your culture, or all these other aspects that is not showing that person love. And it's leading you to another heartbreak. It's leading you to have to recover again. Relationships shouldn't be like cars. You're going to trade it in every 5 years, 7 years. It should be like that classic car that is 50 years old. Still look good, still running. That got them original parts and drove it. So she said, saying, listening to his opinion. Even if he says I never admit I'm wrong. I change something when I know I was wrong. And you know what's funny? I've had that. I literally had someone in my life. Okay, so let me give you a little background. I am a child of the library. I will sit in the library and read and study and read and study when I was a kid. Didn't matter what it is. At one point, I used to read the encyclopedia. Knew every breed of dog at one point, every capital, every country. Just new information that I had, no desire, no need to know. Just study. Study. My kids, they study. Every summer, they would have the school reading list, and then they have their dad's reading list. Yeah, and they would have to read. And so my kids are very, very intelligent about a lot of things. We would have if you were ever around me and my children, you would hear some serious philosophical debate. And she would argue all the time. Argue. One time she finally admitted, I argue because y'all are so smart and I don't want to be wrong. And I want to be right sometimes, sorry. And I want to be right sometimes. That was the most stubborn thing, one of the most stubborn things I ever heard. It's against my religion to admit I'm wrong. I think it was against her religion as well because but she finally admitted that she wanted to be right. And was tired of being wrong. And I was like, hey, it is what it is. I'm not going to tell my kids to hold back. I'm not going to hold back myself. Talk about what you know. Don't talk about things you don't know about. Let's see. Platinum Venus says, what is showing a person love? What does it mean to love someone? I think that is where most people are confused. All right. That is actually a very excellent question. Let's break some of this down, each question by question. Okay. So what is it? What is showing a person love? All right. Now, most people are going to say that showing a person love is being self-sacrificing to the needs and wants and desires of that other person. And that's a pretty decent explanation. You know, it's not invalid that you accept that you sacrifice yourself. But it is not always about sacrifices. It is not a sacrifice for me to open a door. For me to, if she looked thirsty, to go get her something to drink. It is not a sacrifice for me to provide a roof, clothing, and all. I'm not sacrificing anything. Those are things I like doing. I like to be affectionate. So I'm not sacrificing anything to do that, to cater to her needs. It's not always this idea of sacrifice. And the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't date anybody that causes me to make too great of sacrifices because then I got to go too far outside of what I like being. I know how I receive love, and it is in perfection for me. It is a perfection for me to give love to someone the same way that I receive it. So it should be my goal to find someone who receives it exactly the same way I do, or as close as possible to the same way I do. There is another rule called the 20-80. 20-80 rule is not the stuff that was on that movie, but the 20-80 rule is 20% of what you do creates 80% of your results. Like at my gourmet popcorn shop, shameless plug, Uncle Ren's popcorn, but that you can order online. 20% of my product, it's about 30% of my product brings in about 75% of the income right now. So the smaller things brings in the greater amount of results. So finding someone who receives love exactly closer to the way I do makes it easy for me. So I'm not sacrificing. Because I love affection. If she loves affection, we do. I love experiences. So if she loves having experiences over material things, then we're good. If I like talking, if she likes to talk, we're good. Or if she likes to listen, we're good. No, she got to talk there. So we're good. You see, it's not all the way about sacrifice. So showing another person love, that leads me to the second portion of it, is actually then finding out, this is your question, what does it mean to love someone? What it means to love someone is to discover what it is that, how do they feel love and then do it. Then just do it. It's like Nike, just do it. At that point, just freaking do it. If that person feels love by you taking your shoes off at the counter, and as soon as you walk in the house and not dirtying up the floor, take off your goddamn shoes. If it means cleaning up after yourself, clean up after yourself. If it means bringing a card home at least once or twice a week, bring home the card. However that person feels love and it's within your wheelhouse or you're willing to make it a part of your wheelhouse, then do it. And that person will then feel love from you, right? So what does it mean to love someone is to show them love in the way that they experience love. And when they know that and you do that, then they'll know and you'll know. And you're right, that's where most people get confused. And here's the biggest part of that confusion. Everything I just said, most people either know or they will agree, or both. They know it and agree, or they know and they agree, they'll change and they'll agree with me. The problem is that they're not willing to do the work. That's the problem. I can tell you, when I meet a young lady, I tell her everything she needs to know about how to love. Ask me how many of them actually commit themselves to the work. I'll show you my hand to give you an idea. We'll actually commit to the work of doing it. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio, my hand is, I have no rings on my fingers. That's what I'm implying there. But it's the willingness to do the work. Are you willing to do the work? It's like any other job. If you get hired on as a trash man to ride the back of the truck and grab the trash from the sidewalk and throw it in the truck, but all you're doing is riding and you're not willing to get off the truck and grab the trash and throw it into the truck, what happens? They're going to fire your ass. You're going to lose your job. You won't be there long. Relationship is the same way. If you don't want to get, if you're too small to get on the ride, you can't ride that. You ain't ready for it. If you can't cut that grass, you're not the lawn man. If you can't fix the roof, you're not that guy or that lady. If their thing is, this is how they like to receive affection, down to, I like, you know, the person says, I like my toes up. I like kissing, long, wet kisses. I like hard, passionate hugs. I like gentle touches on the arm. I like glances from across the room. Whatever they tell you they like as far as affection, if you're not willing to do it, that ain't your soulmate, first of all. That ain't your woman. That ain't your man. That's not somebody you should be with, because they're not going to be able to show you love. You're always going to be frustrated. So that love looks like how you receive it and how you get it. But people aren't willing to do that work. They're not willing to do that work. I can't tell you how many times somebody has said, Coach Rain, you simple to love. But then they can't do it. They don't do it. It's a selfless thing, yes, if it feels like a sacrifice. It's a selfless thing, yes. If it feels like a sacrifice, be fair. Love that person the best way you can and leave them be. I think I understand what you're saying in that comment, but it's selfless and it's selfish at the same time. Because I show a woman love because I want to receive it back. And if she's giving me that love, and this is another thing I was discussing earlier today, you should be in the mindset that if a person shows you love, you should discover how they receive love so that you can make sure you show it to them just for the simple fact that you're getting it back in return. That's a beautiful exchange. That's the same way that you would go to market. If you give $10, you expect $10 value of product back. You wouldn't invest in a business and expect no return on it. You wouldn't go to the grocery store and give them $100 and not get $100 of groceries back. It's selfless and selfish at the same time. Love is no different. People like to put it on a whole different kind of pedestal level, but it's not. It's the same. If I give you love, guess what I expect back? I expect some more loving back. I need a return on my investment. I invested my time. I invested my energy. I invested my thoughts. I invested my money. I invested my body. I invested all these things into you. You best give it back in like kindness, or guess what? It will stop. You do not get this investment anymore. You got to get off the ride. So I'm not sure if we're in the same mode in that one, but you are right. If you can't do it, if you can't change your environment and get your own self out of the way so that the conditioning that you had and change your conditioning to love them in a way that makes them feel loved, then you should remove yourself from the relationship. And I'll tell you, my family is a little, My family is a little, they're not in a level of understanding when it comes to me. You see, I am the one in my family who has, you know, I was married for a very, very long time. My relationships are all lasted a very, very long time. So to see me dating as an adult is throwing my family off. They don't understand how I have a 5 month, 6 month, 10 month relationship. For them looking at me, they think I should be married within 2 seconds of meeting someone. So, and then as one of the patriarchal leaders of the family, they really look at me and like, you got to provide an example for the young ones who are coming up. So you need to hurry. You need to get married and be married and stay married for a long time to one person. Don't bring nobody else around unless you're going to marry him for a long time. That's how they look at me. And that's cool. It doesn't bother me. I accept the responsibility of being one of the leaders of my family. And if you've been watching some of my videos, and you know we do like family trips and vacations and all that kind of stuff, like 70 deep. Now, because of all of that, they don't understand why I walk away when the relationship is not beneficial. But I try to explain to them, I have a standard that must be met. You can't be below the standard and expect leadership. So you have to have enough courage, enough manhood, enough womanhood, enough spiritual being within yourself to walk away. Just like I said, walk away. Let's see. Rita said, so things get added and subtracted from your duties. People want things to be the same. 50 years, we change and grow, and sometimes people don't. You're right. Change is a constant of the universe. The universe says that change is going to happen. You can't stop it. You can't do anything about it. The thing is, change together. Try to change together. Try to make sure that the environment that you're in is changing you guys together. Now, your affection for one another may change, but make sure it's an affection that both of you can still feel love with. But here's the thing. The biggest group of people getting divorces in today's world are people who are in their 50s and 60s. They're getting divorced left and right because they realize, one, they don't have to stay married. Because the social conditioning, the social norms have changed. You're not a pariah if you are a divorcee anymore. It's almost a badge of honor. So since that's going on in the world today, these people are getting divorced. These singers are getting divorced. You will change. Your sex life will change. Your intimacy, but does your intimacy life? I mean, unless somebody cut off your goddamn lip, you can still kiss your mate. If you were kissing them 50 years ago, you can kiss them today. If y'all had fun, if you kept, and here's the thing, if you start having all these experiences together, you'll discover things that, and y'all start focusing on the things that both of you like and you're willing to try things, then you, the more you keep doing that, yeah, things change, but you're changing together, and that's the key. Keep changing together. And barring, like, major health issues, things like that, keep changing together. My contact is trying out. I'll be getting ready to get in 30 days, so I won't have this issue. You inspired that response. My thoughts exactly. Hey, that's why I love doing it. It's very inspiring to me, and it helps me. I grow with you. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your questions. I appreciate your statements. And even when we don't agree, I appreciate those just as much. My ex-husband used the excuse for lack of affection that he wasn't shown, but my response was, but I do. Okay. But did you show him affection the way he received affection? Because, see, I was told that before, that I show you affection. And I was like, the way you show affection, I don't like it. It's not what I'm looking for. It's not what I want. You're only showing me affection the way you like affection. And I'm more than happy to give you that affection in the way that you like affection. But I'm not receiving affection in the way that I like. In the way that makes me feel loved. So it doesn't matter how many times you do it. Okay, do it for me. Now, every guy is about to be with me on this one. And you ladies, I'm trying to piss y'all off with this thing. There's a thing. I made it up. I'm going to tell you right now. called CTT. CTT. CTT is cuddle time tension. Cuddle time tension is when we land in the bed or sitting on the sofa or any other position where I got to have this arm around you or holding you, like on outside in that cuddle position, that sofa, and it's under that pillow and it holds you or under you and holding you, right? And, yep, I showed you, make it up, and I'm holding you. In the middle of the night, there's some tension in this right here. It hurts. It hurts. Or it go, or the fingers go numb. Or we sit on the sofa and you want to be all up on me and I got the arm that's kind of like crooked over and it just ain't right. It's not, the anatomy of it is just not right. Cuddle time tension is going down. But I'm going to hold it. I'm going to keep it. Keep that cuddle time tension. You know why? You love it. You're comfortable. You feel safe and secure. You love that cuddle time tension. So I'm going to do it. Now I'm showing you love in a way that is not really comfortable for you. Not something that I really want. See, Sam, black poking. It's not something I want to do. It's nice, but when it starts hurting, it's not nice anymore. It's just hurting. But I'm doing it for you. Because that's how you receive. You're receiving love that way. You're receiving security that way. You're receiving from me what you desire that makes you feel closer to me. So I'm going to do that. Right? And I'm going to spend the rest of the day working this out. Because guess what? Guess what I got to do tonight? I got to get some cuddle time tension. Guess what I got to do tomorrow? I got to get some cuddle time tension. I got to keep doing it. So that's just life. That's why dude's shoulders be jacked up by the time he's like 7 years old. Shoulders just don't even work. All that cuddle time tension. It just messed up the shoulder. So I got to show you love in the way you receive it. You can claim that you did it. But did you really do it in a way that he received love? Because if not, what did it matter? I know this sounds mean, cool, whatever, but it don't matter. You can do all. It's grown folks, right? We grown. I personally love old sex. One of my favorites. Love to give it, love to receive. But if you're doing it, but you're just lackluster, you're not really into it. Your techniques is weak. You can do it every day, but the technique is off. And if I keep trying to tell you, teach you, explain you, and you just still don't want to get it, I'm not excited about it. I'm not saying like, oh, she loves me, but she's trying. No, I'm trying to tell you what to do and how to do it right, and you're still not doing it right. You're still not doing it the way that I like it. So guess what? What you're doing don't really matter at that point. And you can say, well, I tried. I do it. You want me to do. I try to do it, and every time he always complains about how I do it, and I don't want to do it, and I'm going to come, he complains about how I do it. And then, and I don't even feel right, make me feel like this, make me feel like that. I'm trying to show you how to love me. I'm trying to show you how to love me. This is why guys, dudes, y'all need to listen to your woman. She's trying to show you, she's trying to tell you how to love her, but you're not listening. You're not listening. You can't do the same tricks you did with the last girl and think that this girl is going to work on her. You're not listening. You need to listen. She's telling you how you need to keep yourself, whether cleaned or groomed. Some of you dudes, y'all need to get up under that undercarriage. Your undercarriage is foul. And you need to get up under that real good, scrub it. And then you need to moisturize, right? You need to moisturize. Because it ain't to my eye, you need to moisturize. Right? Because nobody wants your dried up thing. So, y'all got to listen, dude. You got to listen. She's trying to tell you how to love her. When she's talking to you and you ain't trying to listen, she's trying to tell you how to love her. You got to listen to that. You got to hear it. And that's why a lot of women are dissatisfied. That's why a lot of women are accepting of a lesser quality than what they truly desire is because they're so used to y'all not listening and not doing it anyway. But ladies, you got to stand strong, stand firm. If that joke ain't doing, kick him to the curb. If you don't want to learn, kick him to the curb. Right? I ask him every time we discuss it, what would make him feel affectionate. He would say anything different to what I was doing. See, now, Rika, I'm going to tell you. This is that part where I was saying earlier, you just got to walk away. Because I'm going to say this in the most ignorant way I can. Him stupid. him just stupid. Because if your woman is asking you, how can I show you love? Then, and he just said, anyway, different than what you show. He just, man, he got angry. He got a bunch of other, he got his own self-rejection issue. It's deeper than you not showing it at that point. That is, he got some issues from maybe his childhood or maybe his growing up in environment. Maybe he was emasculated by some woman or I don't know, or some dude. But something happened to him that caused him to be in that framework where you sincerely come to a man and you say, well, show me or teach me or tell me what it is so that you can feel love, and he can't express it. I would imagine that he may have expressed it in the past to other people and they rejected him and he doesn't want to feel that rejection. So instead of telling you a specific, okay, I receive love when you land in bed and you rub on my chest. But maybe some woman told him, I don't like rubbing on your chest. Yo, you got man nipples or you got beads on your chest or whatever the reason, rationale she gave, I just don't feel comfortable that way. It's not comfortable. It hurt his feelings. Now he's scared to say that to you because he don't want to get his feelings hurt again. So his own, he internalized her rejection to make it his own self-rejection. So now he don't want to say it to you because he doesn't want to. He's more afraid of that rejection. So instead, you know, I just won't say it, and I just keep it to myself to make sure that I don't get hurt. But the problem, you wind up hurting the relationship anyway. So that's like that brings us full circle right back to the idea that you got to know yourself. You got to unpack your baggage. You got to let go of all that crap you're holding in. If your environmental influences over your life has caused you to be in a downward spiral, you got to let that stuff go. And I'm saying this as therapy for myself. There are things I need to let go that I've been holding on to for a very long time. And I got to let them go because I want to live my best life. I want to have my greatest relationship. I want to be in love for the rest of my life. I want a relationship. My relationship has to be such that I am riding on cloud 511. Not cloud 9, because 9 ain't high enough. 511. Cloud 511 for the rest of my life. That I look like I'm on my honeymoon. People look at me like, oh, they must be right there. I want that. I have to have that. I desire that. I won't accept anything less than that. So there are some things I have to unpack and let go. Things I have to meditate on. That's why before y'all got here, there was incense burning, white sage, and all kinds of stuff going on there. So that to help me meditate through this process of letting go of things internally myself that has caused me to have relationship issues. Because you have to do your own internal dialogue to make your life better so that you can love somebody better and be able to pick them better. So we all got work to do. We all have work to do. And Coach, you have no idea what I've put up with. He doesn't and hasn't talked to me in 5 years and no experience. I'm so happy with the real man I am. Good. And that thing, let them jokers go. I will. Please share the video. Let's get more and more people on here so we can have bigger conversations. I really appreciate it. And remember, you have to free yourself to be yourself because your greatness is non-negotiable. And have a great night, guys. Love you guys. Appreciate it.